I'm alive. Seth just told me I was. This is Veronica Entwistle saying, welcome to Radiance by Design. It's a show all about you. It's a call-in show. And tonight, and you know I'm an intuitive and energy counselor, and I want you to call in with your questions, and we're going to shift some energy. We're living in the time of the Great Shift, and we're having our small versions of the Great Shift right now. The other thing I wanted to say is, please call in and let me know how you feel about our meditation at the beginning. Some of you, I think, are frustrated and don't tune in until the meditation's over. And I just decided, I think I better ask for some sort of survey response. So if you'd like to call in about that, the number is 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. The reason I wanted to do a meditation is because it connects us all in a vibrational community. But I don't want a bunch of you hanging back and not listening until I'm done with it. So the other thing I'd like to do tonight is do a very short vibrational shifting meditation. And I'd like to talk to you about self-empowerment. How many of you, now raise your hands and I'll just take a look out there, heard Bob Frizzell the other night, and he is just an amazing character who's done his own version of surveying what the metaphysical literature has said and what his experiences have been over this great period of shift on our planet. He had some wonderful stuff to say about the fact that humans have lived for over 500,000 years, which is not kind of how we hear history, is it? He was tuned into consciousness through Drunvalo and learned rebirthing. And a lot of us have learned about things like rebirthing, which is a what he called a circular breathing technique. So a circular breathing technique that helps you flip free from all kinds of deep old beliefs and reactions that have been ingested by you, maybe through lifetime, through shocking experience, through genetics. Doesn't matter how they came, but the belief is that you can get rid of a lot of karma and a lot of the kinds of programs and patterns that you've ingested in the soul's history that you've had. Because a lot of times self-empowerment is about exactly that. Now, Barbara Han Clow and many other people are teaching a thing called ecstatic dance, and it's going into really interesting, sometimes spontaneous postures. And when you go into those, it's a similar thing, that your body, when it goes into certain postures, flips out old beliefs and limiting forces that are deep within your body, because our body is your vibrational vehicle of light, as you know, and the body has constructed itself around an awful lot of vibrational information. Joel Kuhl says, he's so wonderful, he comes through Kathleen Kingdon, and I just do enjoy him so much. He's been coming through people for a number of years now, starting with Alice Bailey in, I believe, the 40s. Anyway, his whole thing is that karma, he just says, all of us are projecting our thoughts and feelings all the time. And he's talking about how the collective of our species is kind of made up of that, which is a non-intentional way of being in the world. And that our bodies, our appearance, and everything to do with us comes from the accumulative karmic influences. So as a vibrational vehicle of light, your vibrations have taken on patterns because of being molded or sculpted through the thousands and thousands of years of you touring reality, touring consciousness of many high levels and low levels for thousands and thousands of years. What do you think of that? Dwal Kuhl says, if you want to know what your karmic stuff is, take a look in the mirror, because your body-mind is shaped by it. So sometimes I stare at myself in the mirror, or I do a lot of rapid chanting, meditations that I got from my Oneness Blessings trainings. That the meditations I've been using lately have come from India, and there's a lot of deep breathing chakra meditations. They're not the only ones that have provided us with that. I have some other ones, and I'm sure you have, and the rebirthers have, and so on and so forth. But it really is true. As you breathe like mad, you shift your fields and frequency. And if you look in the mirror before and you look in the mirror after, guess what? You look a little bit different. Now, maybe you're not going to be as different as what? Maybe you would be recognizable in a crowd as still being yourself. But still, you'll notice that those of us who have been working hard on the path for many, many years look a lot lighter and a lot more expanded than we used to. Some of us are chubbier, too. But that's not the expansion I was talking about. Anyway, again, this is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor. I've been working as an intuitive for more than 25 years now. What I really love is when you ask your questions, and I'm encouraging you to call in with your questions tonight. As you ask your questions, we like to go in and shift or change or send higher frequency energies through to move a lot of the denser frequencies that are created. The densities come from old patterns that are of a lower frequency that are held in your body. It's really fun, to think that we can do shifting over the air. So let's do that. The first thing we're going to start with is a much shorter meditation for those of you who don't like the meditation. I notice nobody's calling in to tell me whether or not you like the meditation. So either you're chicken and hiding on me, or you haven't tuned in yet. Or you just don't want to call in. Come on. Or you can email me, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com, and I know how to get email even when I'm on the air now. So you can even ask your questions that way. So let's do a very quick thumbnail meditation, which is going to be, instead of breathing, which sounds pretty weird over the air, let's do some sounding. We'll do some toning into each chakra. And pay attention to two things. One is, well, three things or more if you want. Intending the focus of the color in the right place for the chakra. And as you do that and make your sound, you should be able to see that chakra getting brighter and clearer. And where it's got densities and darknesses, well, you can just keep sounding until those things break apart. Remember, they're just dense feel. They're just dense vibrations like fur balls that kind of get stuck in your chakras and actually create repeated patterns. And tonight I was perplexed about wanting to have released a certain karmic reaction to a certain situation. And I'm listening to myself right now. Somebody's got to listen, right? I was listening to myself right now and going, oh, well, that's perfect. That's how to disperse or get rid of the denser fields and frequencies in our chakras that really signify karmic patterns. So let's get to work. I promise I'll make this short, and then you're going to call in, right? Or you're going to write in, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com, no H. Close your eyes. And let's focus at the base of your spine, and the color will be red. And remember, that's a very, very creative chakra. It's also what holds your base animal instincts, your lineage, and the drive, so the karmic drive. Ready? Three times. And now move your attention. I hope you feel a shift in your base chakra. Move your attention to your belly area, and the color is going to be orange. It's where we have everybody else's influence. Remember, so we're standing in the back of our own womb saying, who am I in the middle of all this? So you're actually clearing karma, and you're clearing lineage, and mom and dad, and teachers, and sexual mates, and so on. And the color is orange. It's in and around the belly area, and the sound is, ooh. Do you have any luck chasing those fur balls around your belly? I did. It took a minute. And now the solar plexus, right down below your rib cage, where your personal power center is. It's bright yellow like the sun. Solar plexus, your personal power center, who you really are. We're going to talk a lot about that tonight. And the sound is oh, oh, oh. Move up to your chest. The color is green. And remember, we hold a lot of karmic grief in our lungs. You know what the heart is? It's that pulsing, wonderful muscle that interacts with life and sometimes holds itself down. You can expand it and your whole chest. Fill it with courage and love and unconditional love. Sometimes you have to bop some sadnesses and depressions out of the way. So we use a green light for the entire chest and the heart. In the lung. Move your attention into your throat chakra, and the sound is as in everything, and the color is blue. And remember, this is the gateway to wisdom. It's where you synthesize your own special wisdom out of every place you've ever been and everywhere you're going as a soul. And the sound is are you ready? That's making me all kind of spaced out. What about you? Look in your third eye and behind your brow, and the color is deep indigo. And the sound begins with indigo. And it's a little higher. So the sound is, remember, it's how you see things. It's the second of the wisdom chakras. And it's how you see and experience beyond the third dimension. Now the top of your head is violet. That's where you, this the crown chakra. That's where you bring in God, guides, angels, higher self, anything other than the self that you believe in. So focus on the top of your head, and the sound is and you want to vibrate that sound across the top of your head, and like a little lotus, it will open and close and open and bring in the higher frequency beings. Remember, they're not in the third dimension, are they? Now see that wonderful violet light shooting up like a fountain. Whoop! And then it goes way out and it drops all around your body as if you were standing under a shower, a violet shower. And then feel it wrap it round and round and round your body. And now we're ready to play with each other, to talk about things, to talk about personal empowerment. Because that little tool is also about empowerment. It's about raising your fields and frequencies so that you don't go out there and just keep running into your karmic patterns. You don't want to run into your karmic patterns. We're trying to step out of those. We're in the time of the great shift. You know, it's funny because how many of you have paid attention to the Merkaba meditation that I've done, the double tetrahedrons and the star tetrahedrons and so on? Bob Frizzell said something very interesting because we're talking about the shift, we're talking about frequencies, we're talking about moving out of certain fields and frequencies in order to evolve. We're talking about concurrent realities these days, that you and I can be sitting on a couch together, and according to what we're intending and focusing on and vibrating to, we can be living an entirely different reality. And so Frizzell, Mr. Wonderful Frizzell, I really enjoyed him. He was talking about the Merkaba. He was talking about the double tetrahedrons and the star tetrahedrons and so on. And what he said was, and there's some question about whether I never quite agree with all of my interviewees because so much of the work is intuitive, and I don't think you can just go around agreeing with everyone. I think you have to sit with and chew some of these concepts like gum, okay? But one of the things he was talking about is way back during the time between Lemuria and Atlantis, he said that in Lemuria there were they were studying, there was a wonderful mystery school or a master school, I can't remember how he called it, but anyway, it was people who were very high teachers that were studying. I think it went for 70,000 years or something. It's a long time to study, isn't it? But maybe we've been doing that too. Anyway, he said that there were these 10 levels of mastery and consciousness, and he linked it to the Tree of Life. But he said they only got, Lemuria ended before they got to all 10, and two of them were missing. So when they got to Atlantis, those two vacancies were filled by the beings from Mars who came to Earth, came in and filled those slots. And he said that they had wonderful empowerment tools like the star tetrahedrons and so on and so forth, but what they didn't have that they had in Lemuria was their first thing was to come from the heart. So what they did is they created it technologically, and they didn't come from the heart, so it didn't include their emotional state and their emotional empathy with one another. So they would just create these amazing structures, and those structures enabled them to shift dimensions and to move long, long distances. But they were cold-hearted, and he said that that's what blew them out of the water ultimately. And that when he was talking about it, I went, gosh, I teach those Merkaba meditations all the time. And I do believe all of us listening to this are aware of coming from the heart. But I don't think I've ever said that in all of my teaching of these meditations. So I just want to say to you, when you're doing, when you're creating energy fields in order to shift dimensions, in order to design the reality that you want, in order to create the reality that you want, always come from the heart first. That is the most really important thing, because if you and I look back on how we keep hearing about the shift, we're hearing that human beings could possibly go, oh, goody, I'll just finish this thought and then you're on the air. Human beings could make the shift into being a species that comes from the heart in a massive way. But we could also be the kind of species that stays connected to, for example, technology and doesn't give a toodly-doo about the heart, or technology and money and doesn't care about the heart. I'm not saying it's an either-or. I'm saying whatever it is, we want to design. Don't forget to bring your heart along with you, because we want that, don't we? So hello, you're on the air. Good evening.
Hi, Veronica. This is Kay from Iowa.
Hi, Kay. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm really nervous, and you're talking about the heart. As soon as I got through, my heart feels like it could jump out of my chest.
That's because you're really, really sensitive. And do you have a question? I want to tell you right away that your throat chakra is really tense, too, and it's trying to hold your body together. Maybe you should take a minute and either laugh or breathe really deeply and see that wonderful light that you have running from your top of your head right down through to your toenails. Can you do that?
Yeah.
You look a little better. It's still clutching around your clavicle. But anyway, we're playing with you on purpose. You get to be my show-and-tell girl.
Well, good. You know, I love the meditations. You're welcome. I would not change those. As a matter of fact, the last time you did the chakra meditation that I'm aware of, a few weeks ago, when you were just at the second chakra, I got kicked off my computer and could not get back on until you were at the throat or the third eye.
Oh, wow, that's funny, huh? You think it was a message from God?
The next week, I think so, because the next week when you were in the healing center, you were talking about something, and it was exactly what I was visualized going on with me in the healing center, and I got kicked off again.
Oh, isn't that strange? I wonder if it's an interaction with the vibrations. Does your computer crash very often?
I thought that maybe whatever was going on with me, I wasn't supposed to be aware of at the time. And then today, with the meditation completing and me getting through with the call, I thought that maybe you had a message I was supposed to pick up right now.
I do. You don't have a specific question, then I'll just talk about you behind your back, right?
Okay.
You look like you're undergoing, first of all, your neck. I'm very conscious of your neck and the back of your head. Your heart wants to awaken. There's a fear that you have about being too vulnerable, and it's really strong. And I want to remind you, Kay, and other people at home, that our vulnerability is our greatest strength. It's almost like putting ball bearings underneath all of our karmic stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what does that mean to you about you're afraid to be vulnerable? Because it's specific.
Interesting, because that is what I've been working on through my meditation, open myself up to being vulnerable. I think I was picked on in my family as a child, and so I think I shut down a certain part of myself, a lot of myself, and I'm trying to reawaken that self. And I've closed myself off really with my ability to give and receive love and to experience joy by not wanting to feel pain. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it sure does. Do you ever write or sing, either of those?
Occasionally, but very little.
You know why I said that is because I want to go in there, just a sec here. I want to go in there and do sort of like a roto-rooter. There's something you're doing in your thinking that's holding your neck. Remember, the neck is consciousness of self. So as we change, we synthesize our incoming or the wisdom that we're creating from experience in the throat. And there's your little neck being quite, not that it's stiff, but it's kind of blocked and plugged. And your head looks like your brain is holding a pattern of thought. And I want to reach in with a pen and start writing like mad so that some of this stuff will come out. And then you'll get a chance to get the synthesizing process out of your life experience. Yeah, that's it. Something in your throat just moved there. Did you feel it? And it opened your eyes a little bit. Did you feel that energy?
As you said that, I just, like a big, exhale, like...
Good, yeah, because something moved really radically, and I can see where it was blocking me You know, talking to an intuitive is interesting, talking about vulnerability, because sometimes you go somewhere and people go, don't look at me, because they don't know what you're seeing, and they think it's going to turn them into a villain of some sort. But I look at you, and, you know, you're afraid of being vulnerable, but you're right now a lot more vulnerable than you were 3 minutes ago. Do you know that? And it's it's a beautiful vulnerability. You've got a lovely, lovely intuitive light. You have a wonderful heart. And when I throw, let me see. I want people at home to do this as well. Drop into your own heart and ask to feel really vulnerable. People will see you and know you for who you are. And no defense you've got is going to make you stronger than becoming vulnerable. You understand? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So your little body is getting way more receptive. There's a lot of purple and green light in you. Do you do any art at all, Kay?
Well, I've just started drawing eyes. And I don't know why I'm fascinated with eyes, and I see eyes all over. And everything I look at, I'm seeing eyes lately. And I've been drawing eyes, and I've been thinking about taking art classes. And a friend of mine who is an artist is going to give me some books. And actually, I'm a massage therapist.
You are?
I'm a massage therapist, yes, and I feel like I'm at a place where I need to move to a different level career-wise, and I'm trying to reawaken something in me that I think I have that was closed down through blocking off myself from not wanting to be vulnerable.
I think it's really interesting because you're really, really, really sensitive, and sometimes people who are really, really, really sensitive have better blocks than people who aren't. But by the same token, you understand what I mean, and by the same token, when you're as sensitive as you are, you can actually shift those blocks more consciously and more swiftly than someone who doesn't have the sensitivity. And I think you're going to start opening to really running a different level of energy. You understand that?
Yes.
And I want you to do art, I want you to do writing, and some kind of singing or chanting. And I think you'll find your fields move really quickly when you do that. And you'll start, it's like they're a handle, and they start turning your energy fields. The next thing you know, you're feeling freer and freer. And you have a beautiful heart, my dear.
Well, thank you. I think I closed it down as a small child because I came from a very loud, aggressive kind of family that chaotic life. And I think because of my sensitivity, it was just too much for me, and I've just shut it all down. And now I'm trying to reawaken what I shut down, and I'm just unsure of what it is. But I like the idea of the art and the writing and the singing.
And, yeah, you notice that those things come from your right brain. They just start pouring out, and they'll pull, even if you write junk, they start pulling lids off of little vats of your own consciousness, you know. Well, it was one of the fellows I interviewed recently, I think it was Dave DeLuca, who does a lot of work with the Vedas and so on, and he said, the spiritual life is a life of subtraction. And I love that line, and he's basically saying it's stuff you pull out, because who you really are and the consciousness you want is way underneath, and it's right there. And I just see you as opening soon, and really the service that you give to people. You're not going to leave massage therapy, I don't think, are you?
You don't think so? I don't know. For some reason, I feel that maybe I'm going to,
It's going to be energy. Are you doing energy work? Because that's what you're going to be doing.
That's why I got into massage therapy, because I thought it would be a natural progression into energy work. And I have taken a few classes, and I'm just kind of teaching myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're talking to your angels, aren't you? Are you talking to your guides?
I try to. And actually, you know, you mentioned earlier about parallel lives.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've been working with, like, a past version of myself of the past life. And I think I'm really getting in touch with her. And I think it's me. If all time's happening at once, then actually she's it's like she's working with me at this time. Does that make any sense?
Oh, yes, it does. And remember this, we were talking also about karma, and some of our karma is really good, and anything you've achieved in other lives, you can certainly bring forward in this life as well. Because when I look at you, I go, the sensitivity it takes to be really vulnerable also makes it easier for you to perceive both your guides and angels and also concurrent realities or other lives. You just really have that knack. So I don't see you as leaving the art of massage totally. I see you as doing very magical energy purveyance, and I love that for you. Is your mom still living? Okay.
Yes, she is.
I'll tell you what, she needs your help. Do you know that?
No, thank you for telling me that. She just recently lost a brother.
Well, I'll tell you why we say that, and then I have to let you go. But she, you talked about the rambunctiousness of your family. Your mom has been trapped in her own version of, the guides say it, sometimes it's kind of a nightmare, that there's this sensitive, soft character in there, but she's got this shell around her or something, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
She could use a little help. But if you, hang on and be patient, we're almost done here. But if you work with her in an energy way and help her step out of her shell, it really does an amazing thing for you and the whole lineage in which you find yourself. So you're not here just to step out of your own thing. You're also here to help at least some parts of the lineage, and very, very loving soul you are. Very loving. I'm here to remind you about that, girl.
Well, thank you so much. I greatly appreciate your program and all that you do.
Thank you so much, Kay. Keep us posted.
All right. Bye-bye.
Blessing. Hello, you're on the air. Hi, Peg. How are you?
Well, I seem to be doing better. I was just calling to see how my chakras, are they all clear and moving?
You have, takes me a minute here. I'll go running through you like an encyclopedia here. your third eye, okay, you have tension in your body. And for people who don't know, I know Peg, and she's been through a bit of a physical challenge, and I want to say just below your navel, no, just below your rib cage, and just at the bottom of your solar plexus and down to your navel, your chakras look kind of frozen. And I'm like, okay, and that's where you've had an illness. I understand that.
Yeah.
And so we're going to send some energy to that part of your body. Your third eye, you have a lot of white light in the upper chakras. It's very beautiful. So you're getting a lot of assistance from higher guidance. Your third eye itself is wanting to open. It's kind of whirling and swirling. Your throat chakra's not bad at all, although it's a little low-keyed right now, you know, but it's not closed. And your heart chakra is asking a lot of questions. I don't know what that means. Your heart chakra, and everybody at home can check your own chakras for this, but your heart chakra is asking a lot of questions about itself, which I say is the root of what your physical problem came from initially. Is the self-love and the self-respect and the courage to continue being. We were going to talk about being true to ourselves tonight, and being the courage to be true to yourself has been up for you as a question for about a month and a half. And when I ask that of your body, I say it looks like deep down you were feeling a little chilly, like the world, like you're on your own and the world doesn't support you somehow. And we want to infuse you with love light. That's what Rowena Kreider calls it, love light. Yeah. We want to just see that you feel you have wonderful guidance around you, and we want to say that you have full capacity to feel them. Now, I don't know how you feel right now, Peg, but all your chakras are changing as we talk. Can you feel that?
Yeah, I do feel movement.
Now, remember, our chakras work in symphony with our lives and with other people that we meet and the chakras that they're emanating. And as we talk with you, chakra to chakra, and other listeners are also involved. It's funny, your chakras are moving like mad. And now your chest feels a warmth and a light to it. Can you feel that? Can you feel kind of an interesting shift going on in your chest?
Yes.
So I want to end this by saying let's all, what we talked about, Peg's solar plexus down to the navel being a little bit held in place. So I'm going to say, let's everybody at home go into your own bodies, wrap yourselves in light so we don't take on one another's, and then drop inside and ask to feel wherever you feel kind of numb or blocked or oddly tense or any of those things. Just ask to feel that. Yeah. And now let's take some, what will we use, everybody? Let's use the violet flame because it's very accessible to all of us. And we're going to run that right into the chakra that you think is a little bit dense and a little bit tense. We're going to just impose or send in the violet flame and have it burn and burn and burn in that chakra. That's right. And I'm doing it in two places with you, Peg. One is at the back of your head, at the occiput, and one is into the chakra where we were first, between the solar plexus and the belly area, that area. What are you doing? What ones are you feeling?
I feel the second and third chakra.
Okay.
And back of my head.
Okay. And what we want to say to you and other people is if you can get them all pulsing and pumping in their brightest colors, you give yourself a real leg up as far as healing goes.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking brighter than you have, but you're much more organized vibrationally than you were before you called.
Oh, okay. All right. Good.
And that's because you're willing, and this reminds me of Kay in a way, you're willing to be vulnerable, and you're willing to give over and let those chakras be moved around vibrationally. You see what I mean? You're not hanging on to a position that's subconscious or emotional.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else to ask before I say goodbye?
Oh, no, just overall, I looked like this infection or virus is gone.
It doesn't look like it's perking anything new, all right. It looks like it's getting smaller and smaller.
Okay, good. So I've been listening to the tapes that you had given me today, so.
That's wonderful. Well, I really appreciate your call in. Did you do the meditation with us at the beginning?
No, I just got on.
Okay.
Yeah, I just...
I'm asking for a survey on the meditation, so you don't count this time, but next time.
Okay.
Thank you so much for
thank
your call,
you.
Peg, and be well, okay?
Yes, thank you. Good night. Love you.
Love to you. So that was an interesting call as well. We just worked her chakras. What's happening with your own chakras? Please call in. I'm really enjoying these calls tonight. So what we're talking about is, like with Kay, with the concurrent realities that she's talking about, she's literally bringing an aspect of herself into union with her physical dimensional self. And that, in a way, is like, it seems to me anyway, it's kind of like training wheels, or it gets to, for her to be able to live into and feel the vulnerability and the ability as an energy healer, she can bring those in from other aspects of her own reality. Isn't that wonderful? So now let's see who else we can work on tonight. What I wanted to talk about initially was finding out who our true self is. And remember, if this is the big shift, it really is important to find a position inside of ourselves of self-love and being true to ourselves so that instead of being competitive and combative, and hardening off and all those other things we know that we do, it's really time for us to center into the truth of ourselves. And then, as Peg noted when she called in, the truth of ourselves is helped when we're clearing our chakras, isn't it? The truth of ourself is, what am I trying to say? If you find in your heart chakra, let me go through somebody here. Okay, here's a man. This one's a man, okay? If we find that you go into your third eye area and it's really hard and dark, this guy can feel like it's shut down. He would really like to open it, but it feels like he gets a little pain there and he doesn't get very far. And he goes into his throat chakra and it's holding. He's got a real an intensity in the throat, and it's pulling on his ears. But he's got a nice warm heart in his solar plexus. He's got a lot of pain on the right side there in the solar plexus over by the liver. In the belly area, it's kind of murky. It's orange, but it's a little murky. And in the red chakra, it's interesting. It's kind of red and pink and a little bit gray. So I just want to say that as far as being in this guy's true self, he's living a whole lot of reactions that are encoded in his subconscious that are preventing him from, for example, experiencing, and this guy really wants to experience his third eye, and he wants to experience sensing, knowing, and being sensitive, but he's kind of locked down. And then he also wants to experience speaking about the kinds of things that but he doesn't seem to be able to get it out very well. And his consciousness of self is that he's not able to, he's not sensitive, he's not capable. So none of that's true. That's called holding the frequencies in such and such a way because of a certain belief that came from some reaction. It's really interesting, isn't it? So as we work with him, well, with all of you, we'll say, okay, brighten up your red chakra. Go in there, take a deep breath, drop inside, and go in there. And the guides and angels are working with you in your own higher self and guides and angels. Focus into the base of your spine, and then just imagine it getting brighter and clearer. Now, the fellow that I picked out of the crowd there, his went bright really fast, so it didn't take him very long. It's just sometimes we have to get intentional and conscious and make it happen, and as you spin it up, his relationship to being base animal instincts, being on the planet, improved. Also, his creativity level, his ability to create money. And the other thing about his red chakra that popped up for me is there's a little gold light in it, which tells me that he's not going to feel wealthy and content and integrated on this planet unless, ta-da, he becomes spiritually attuned. Then we move into the belly area, right? Now, let's everybody do your belly area. Focus in there and make it really, really orange. And where he had some of those little funny striations of kind of foggy gray or whatever, brown blobs, other people's experiences, just infuse those with orange. And it might sound strange, but if you can't, start applying some violet flame in there, just burning up all the leftover dross. Okay, this guy, okay, it's not perfect, but it's getting way brighter right now, which means that you're getting true to yourself. Everybody else's influences can leave you with a kind of a pudding that has to be stirred, but we're stirring that pudding, and then you come up with the truth of who you are, or you subtract abuse from who you are. The abuse is what keeps us kind of numb in the first place. So we just infuse it with the orange light, right? Good. And now we move into the solar plexus. And I don't know why he's got these big dark patches over by his liver. Probably his bourbon that he has at night. I can see you. You can't hide from me. Okay, there it is. Now his true self is starting to show. We're just infusing it with a gold light, a bright, bright yellow gold light, yellow like the sun. and then just keep running it round and round and round in the solar plexus until that dark patch over to the right there or wherever you've got it fades. Some of you have it right in the center of the solar plexus, just like your personal power has probably been thwarted your whole life. But you can infuse it with bright, bright, sunny light and give yourself that sense of self that you really want. So you're doing much better. Now we go into your heart chakra. You got a big, I would say a big heart chakra. I often see it as green, but there's just some people's are red. Yours is red and orange and purple. Whew, beautiful, beautiful color. Now we move into the throat chakra, and you're really tight there. So I want you to sing, yodel, whistle, gargle, paint, draw, dance, do cartwheel, something that's your own synthesis about everywhere you've ever been. Good. It started to move in your neck. Okay, everybody, shift your neck around a little bit. Spin it to the right and spin it to the left. And it really helps these energy fields move on through and cultivate your wisdom out of experience instead of you holding the flow down so you won't be vulnerable, right? Back to K. Good. Now, with our little friend there, we're going up into the third eye, and let's just burn out that third eye. Let it go, and you will be more vulnerable because visions, things that you look at, are going to slip around a little bit, and you cannot stay in control of them. The only thing you can do to control them is to let go, clear up, let go, clear up, and then surrender and let yourself see what comes. And, you know, if you ever see anything negative, two things. Check and see if you have to poop because that'll mess up what you see, and you'll start getting darker visions. Or the other thing is you ask if you see something scary, just say, are you from the Christing or whoever you pray to? Are you for the highest good? Because it's like going to a party. If you start talking about holy saints like Jesus or whatever, people will run away from you. I think it's very much the same with visions and weird spirits. Top of your head's violet. Now, you look much clearer. I wish you'd phone in and tell me that it worked for you because it sure worked for me to see you look like that. It's really fun working with the chakras. It does more for you than you can imagine. It's a nice way to get rid of a lot of subconscious programming and a lot of karmic stuff, isn't it? So to be true to yourself, that's one form. Another form is to ask yourself when you're behaving in a certain way, what if people don't like you? Now, this could be way too complicated, and we've got about 2 minutes left here. Let's see, who are we having on next week? Randy Masters is coming on to Paradigm Shifters again next week. Randy Masters is a master of sound healing and sacred geometrics, and he's our first Paradigm Shifter 4 or 5 years ago, or however long it's been. And he's been on, I think, 5 times since then. And some of you just love it. He lives a kind of life where his life is tuned so that most of his household, everything he's got in it, has some kind of vibrational impact. So he's trying to live as consciously as possible in a vibrational setting that's just really uplifting. So tune in and we'll have him talk to you about what it takes to apply sacred geometrics to your life. That's the use of pyramids, and some of that stuff's really old, and color and sound and so on. It'll be delightful, and that's Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. And then next Thursday, we'll be talking to you again, and I want you to tell me some more about what it's like to be true to yourself. And at 8 o'clock, is it 8 o'clock? Yeah, 8 o'clock tonight, we're going to be talking to Jackie Selvitty with ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. And what she's talking about tonight is taking the path of the heart. Well, in a way, that's what we've been talking about. Remember, when you're doing your sacred geometrics, to always go inside and make sure that you are coming from your heart, because it's that that's going to create a huge, huge drive for us to make a shift on the planet at this time in history. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you so much for your feedback on these shows. And for those of you who haven't given me any, Veronica at VeronicaEntwistle.com. And I'm an intuitive and energy worker, and I love working with you. So if you'd like a session with me, it's Veronica at veronicaantwistle.com. And I guess we're going to end a little bit early tonight. Nobody else called in, and I'm ready to go on and be on with Jackie Salvitti at the top of the hour, if you can wait for that. Good night, and for those of you who called in, thank you so much for calling in. And for those of you who are listening, many, many blessings. Keep listening. Thank you. Good night.